This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tomorrow. Okay. I think tomorrow. But, cool, man. But yeah, I'm
looking
excited
forward
about
to it. Absolutely. Yeah. Drew, you're doing great work, man. Appreciate your time here, brother. Always.
Yep, of course. Yep. Thanks, guys. See you later.
Yes, sir. Make sure you read him over at DailyMemphian.com. He's got that piece coming up on more on Noah LaRoche, which I'm interested to read more on his background, obviously, and what necessarily he's going to bring, because this sounds like it's an offensive, you know, restructuring as much as anything. And I stopped short of saying overhaul and throwing away Taylor Jenkins' philosophy, but this does seem to be, with where the Grizzlies were ranked last year, a move in terms of adjusting some of your principles offensively. Very eager to read what Drew's got on in terms of more on Noah LaRoche. So be on the lookout for that over at DailyMemphian.com. If you are not, be following Drew at DrewHill_DM. We have got the rundown to do, lots to get to, including what former Memphis football coach Mike Norvell said about that game with Memphis this season, September 14th. Tigers will be down in Tallahassee. A lot of us have marked it as an L, you know? And the Tigers, you know, you never know. Might go down there and surprise. Mike Norvell certainly didn't give them any bulletin board material. He thinks it's going to be a great matchup. Obviously, we'll talk about what he thinks of the job that Silverfield has done. He did so on the Gabe Kuhn show yesterday. Hopefully you heard that. We'll talk more, obviously, about tonight's Game 5. And, oh, yeah, second hour, baby, we're back. Fade Brad. We're rolling. I heard Jeffrey talking about 50% the last 2 years, and he was down about that.
He was down about 50%?
Yeah, that's what he's been, 50% the last 2 years.
So he's done pretty well.
Right.
And that's down for him, because I remember the first few years he did college football.
Well, he's being very honest when you talk about it. He did. Yeah. And he said Jeff's been tough on him the last 2 years. He still hit 50%.
Yeah, I think he's done a good job overall. I mean, you got to look at the sample.
He has. Imagine the work he's put in to do it.
Oh, lots
it's
of
a
work.
Lot,
and he's
right?
trying to pick winners. Those are winners.
And it's a lot of work.
Lots of work.
We do a lot less work.
No work, really.
And you fade, Brad, and you hit at 59%.
Yeah.
That's a segment that's doing very well.
Sweeping the nation, America Square.
And I appreciate the acknowledgement of it earlier this morning from other shows. And, yes, we have America Square. We'll hear from him second hour on Minnesota-Dallas tonight. Very excited to do. You're listening to Jason John, 92.9 FM ESPN.
It's The Rundown with the biggest stories of the day from Jason and John on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
I won't say too much because I don't want to spoil Fade Brad Carson and his pick for later. Don't want to influence his process whatsoever. We're hitting too good right now. Don't want to mess it up. Mm-hmm. However, we must talk about Game 5 tonight, and there's only a Game 5 because Minnesota forced it with that 105-100 Game 4 win on Tuesday night to set up tonight's game, which you can hear live here on 92.9 FM ESPN. That game tips at 7:30. Pits the great Anthony Edwards against Luka. We don't need to go through too many nuts and bolts. What most people have read about or talked about is how effective, and we did too a little bit, how effective Chris Finch's adjustment in terms of defensively threw Kyrie and Luka a little off. They weren't their usual, even though Luka still had triple-double, weren't as smooth as they had been offensively. We certainly weren't as efficient because of the switch, putting Jaden McDaniels on Kyrie and Anthony Edwards head up against Luka Doncic. Let me tell you something about that. It ain't going to work again. Luka, there will be an adjustment to the adjustment.
Right.
And it's not like we haven't seen at times during the series, you know, Luka facing up against Anthony Edwards, whatever else. That adjustment did throw off Dallas, I think, in that game. But clearly, too, they're missing Derek Lively. We just talked about with Drew Hill. And they were all the way in that game. We mentioned Luka had a chance to cut it down even more if he had completed that four-point play. But my point here is that Dallas is still in control of this series, and I don't think that defensive switch is going to be something that holds the rest of the series, keeps Luka off, keeps Kyrie, you know, off. It's something that they're going to have adjusted to. Again, OKC tried everybody on Luka, and at one point you thought, okay, Dort's the Luka stopper. Then he gets comfortable against Dort, starts killing him. They threw every other body, Jalen Williams, everybody they had at Luka. Didn't matter. Luka doesn't – you know what? Because it doesn't matter how good a defender you are, you can't throw off Luka. You can't change his speed. He's unflappable. And so, yes, while for a game or a half you might have some success in terms of throwing an adjustment at him, it's not going to work for the rest of the series. And so acting as if, which I've heard some from ESPN, the narrative, that as if that adjustment last game is going to work and get Minnesota back in this series is wrong. That said, it did work. Keep in mind, this is a Minnesota team that against Denver, you held them to final scores at their place of 70, 80, and 90 points. Remember, we said they held Denver to an average of 80 points in those three home, for Minnesota, road victories, three home games for Denver that Minnesota ended up winning. You know, that Dallas averaging 111 points over the first three games until that last one. Minnesota hadn't done anything right defensively. And so, again, that adjustment worked. It's not going to work for the rest of the series. It doesn't matter what you throw at Luka. He adjusts. Now, Luka, like Derek Lively, apparently listed as questionable tonight, even though we feel a lot better about Luka going. He hasn't missed a game. Lively obviously has. And the update, I just saw it, Brad, is that he's still iffy for tonight. Derek Lively. I mean, and they missed him around the basket last game, and that offensive presence that he is when Luka or Kyrie is driving, drawing attention as an alley-oop guy, they only had really Gafford to throw it to last game. And so it's not just that, too. It's Lively's activity level on the defensive end around the basket with the rebounding and everything else they missed in that game. And it certainly helped a Karl-Anthony Towns, who still fouled out, by the way, in that game. But it frankly allowed him to kind of just focus on offense, you know, having fewer bigs to be worried about for Dallas, because Dwight Powell and Maxi Kleber, even though Kleber's coming back from injury and he's a great defender, those guys not nearly as useful as Lively had been. And so, you know, the question seems to remain whether or not he'll go. I expect Luka to play. We've said it in terms of the history of the NBA, no teams come back from down 0-3, and I'm with Drew. Even if Minnesota wins this, you know, you're going to have to talk to me after a Game 6 win before I truly believe that Minnesota's back in this series. I kind of expect a good effort from Minnesota, maybe a winning type effort from Minnesota tonight. You're back home. Anthony Edwards has guaranteed the folks in Dallas, much like he did last series, that he's going to be back, right, like he did with the Denver attendance and everything else. He's told Micah Parsons and everything he's coming back. I could completely see, and again, not trying to influence the pick from America Square later this hour, I could easily see Minnesota winning this game and then Dallas shutting it down in six, because I think Dallas is in that kind of control of this series. You need Lively, mm-hmm. I think, to finish it off and keep control. He's obviously running now. He's close. He says, he literally said today, I really don't know how much I can do, which doesn't to me sound like a very good sign. He says, we're just figuring out what I can do, just trying to take it, see what's going to bring up red flags and what's not.
Right.
I mean, that doesn't sound like a guy who sounds very confident about going tonight. If they don't have him, I feel even better about the chances of Minnesota extending the series. That said, Dallas feels like they're in full control, and in league history, no team's ever come back from down 0-3. 155. 0-155. I don't think it's happened in this series.
No.
Next story.
All right, so there's a lot of Tigers news. At the headline, obviously, being David Jones. The second piece that they're adding, transfer Daniel Vera-Tuck, the 6'4 combo guard out of Dallas, by way of Portugal and the Pro League there. But the third piece of news that we haven't talked about is from the Daily Memphian, and it was straight from his accounts, his social media accounts. Malcolm Dandridge has broken his silence on Instagram yesterday about his time with the Tigers coming to a close. Most of the kids now, or I should say young men, what they do is when they leave, they have to put something on Instagram. You got to put an Instagram account, like an image up there and a quote saying how much you loved your time, or you didn't like your time, or you just thank the people you want to thank and you blow off the things you didn't want to
thank. And I'm out.
Yeah. In this case, it was a little scattered because you might recall he was kind of throwing Memphis under the bus after those final four games of the season where Malcolm Dandridge had to sit out due to academic issues. But here's the quote, and then I want to ask you about the academic thing second after sure. I go through the quote. The good stuff. He thanks Penny Hardaway. He talks about
how it was
God's plan to play at the University of Memphis. Obviously, Dandridge playing at East and then playing at Memphis to have been able to stay and play in my city where the love and support for the city's team is unmatched was always a childhood dream of mine. And Jason, I agree with him. Like, that is a gift from God to be able to grow up in this city and play for your city's team, no matter how it goes. What a gift.
Sure.
Through the highest of highs and the lowest of lows, I enjoyed the entire journey, and he had both. Even though my career didn't start or finish the way I would have wanted it to, I know that there is no plan that is bigger or better than the plan God has. Thanking Penny Hardaway, said he's prepared for his professional career now. Shows a beautiful graphic, University of Memphis, social media post. My question to you is this. What happened those four games with the academic scandal?
No clue, and no clue if we'll ever really truly know, you know, the answer to that, because it's Memphis that's doing the investigation.
We haven't heard anything on this, have we?
No, and it's not going to change anything about last season at this point. And frankly,
is it irrelevant?
I think it might be.
Okay.
I mean, last season it mattered because the rumors initially were that it affected more players than just Malcolm.
That's what I was going. I didn't know if it was a bigger issue.
And some of those players are gone now.
Right.
You know, some of those were the 1 year guys. And again, those weren't substantiated. They ended up just being rumors because you finished your season. Nothing else came out about them. And again, we said it from the get-go. What's the incentive for Memphis to hurry up this investigation and try to get to the bottom of it? Because if it does span out to other players on the team, you can affect the season.
Right.
Season's done.
Those guys have gone on.
Yeah. And, yeah, I imagine we'll get something at some point. As for Malco, the story here is probably what could have been.
Yeah.
He talked about it didn't start like I wanted, didn't finish like I wanted. I was just listening to his quote from you there. I would tell you, too, in the middle didn't go like we all wanted either. It didn't go like he wanted either. Credit to Malco's turned in his best year of his career in his last one here at Memphis, but he never materialized in the kind of difference maker that you hoped that he would be when he committed to Memphis from East after playing for Penny Hardaway over there.
Right. Let's
just be real. And a lot of it was injury, things that were out of his control. But then we saw, too, Malco at times last, 2 years ago, they're in the NCAA tournament, and you've got him arguing with Kendrick Davis at a critical point in that game. And you can't tell me that the vibes there didn't affect that team in terms of how it finished out that game against FAU. Right. And so we've seen a Malco that couldn't do it because of injury. We've seen a Malco at times that, what do you have, 7-8 blocks in that one game this year? It's like, holy cow, imagine if you had this for 4 years.
Yeah.
Then we saw him getting into a fight with a guy who's been leading the team all year long and Kendrick Davis. A fight in the sense verbal altercation.
Yeah, they were getting
that affected mood.
Mm-hmm.
You had people forgetting defensive assignments at the end of that game, and you cannot tell me that whatever was going on between him and Kendrick Davis that didn't affect them in that game. It clearly did, and both have spoken on it and how it did. So we saw like the best and worst of. But ultimately, it'll be a story of how it didn't, his career here at Memphis didn't live up to the expectations that we all had for him. As to, again, a credit to him, Malco turned himself into a real prospect.
Right.
At 6'8", 6'9", 6'10", whatever he ended up being, with that big, strong body. He was playing in the shadow of much more talented players in high school and coming up. That said, he earned what he got in terms of the scholarship offers. He had more than just Memphis
sure.
after him based on that body, the player he became. All that said, once he had earned, that stock had risen as a prospect, it just never really sort of played out fully in the way that you hoped it could during his time here for a multitude of reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end, not to mention, you had him involved in this academic scandal that – Listen, however you felt about how it was going to go for Memphis, he wasn't on the floor at the end of the season.
Right.
And who's to blame for that? Malco. And so, again, it's a bunch of what-ifs.
Yep.
It's a bunch of things that, you know, decisions that you wish, you know, had gone a different way. But his career ultimately, unfortunately, did not live up to what you had hoped it would be. I think, I'm just going to be honest with you, weirdly, so that news came out, I think, as Norton Heard IV, the team that
he was on with
coach
you.
Was getting off the air.
Oh, yeah.
And so he saw that edit.
Yeah.
And we're both looking at it, like, he's showing to me, like,
Did he go? What is like this for?
At the end of it, it's like I'm now.
I'm going to the NBA.
I'm putting my name
in
the NBA.
Yeah, professional basketball.
Well, I'm just saying it's like you're going where? Like what?
What's the point?
No, because
I think this is where I was going with
your eligibility.
All of these guys feel obligated to put an exclamation point, no matter what the career.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He didn't have a decision like to come back to Memphis or to go pro. It's done at Memphis. His eligibility was up.
Welcome to the social media era.
Looking at it, you're like, what in the world is this? We get the bye-bye part, but the whole purpose, you know.
Well, I wrote down three players that he had to play behind. Even Musa, who is returning this year, Wiseman, Jalen Duren, and all of them. One of the things you could argue is
he had every chance this year.
Because of injury, too. But what I'm suggesting, and I don't want to pile on Penny because he's getting it today with the David Jones stuff, but I will say, if you're going to have a player that's not a star like David Jones, who's a role-playing big, like, that needs to not be a distraction in year four. And I'm not suggesting that it was all self-inflicted. There might have been some stuff. You got an advisor involved here. But, like, that is a crappy-ass dismount. I mean, even if it would have not happened, his career, you would look at it differently. It's like he misses the last four games of your career after being a four-year player. Like, imagine if that happened to me, just high school. I couldn't have lived with myself. Like, I was just a high school player. Like, if you would have taken away the last four games, it'd have been like, that is.
Well, my whole thing when this happened was, well, first, remember, Malco was going to transfer.
Before the year, yeah.
Frankly, he was in the portal. He was probably close to going to St. Louis. And then, you know, Penny keeps the door open, whatever.
Right.
We can use another big, come on home. You could finish it out here. And then what do you do? Yes, you give one of your most consistent performances of the season defensively. At times, you were a beast. But then at the end of the year, you get yourself suspended. Yeah, like you come back and you get yourself suspended because of this academic issue. Like how
Then you badmouth the university before telling them how great your time was in this infographic. It's just a bizarre, dismount.
He seemed to indicate from previous posts that he'd been framed in this incident.
Yes.
I don't know that we'll ever truly have all of the details because now you're talking about a guy that's gone. Does the NCAA ever get involved
in this?
That's
right, yeah.
Does the Memphis internal investigation ever really wrap up and finish?
Right.
If folks in the media ain't asking for it, why not just let that thing fizzle out and die? And it's not now because you're talking about guys that are gone.
Right.
And again, the rumors were it could have affected other players. Well, most of those players, they're gone too.
Yeah.
And so, again, whether this is just individually involving Malco or they did go to a few other players, I'm not sure that we'll ever get to the bottom of it.
Yeah.
I wish Malco the best.
I think he can go
overseas and, you know, get paid to play basketball. It's really the most unfortunate thing for Malco, because some of it was self-inflicted in terms of his decision making, but he never seemed like he was ever fully healthy. Like, perhaps, I mean, Paris London, different in the sense of Paris London ended up being a blue chip,
right?
But his career never really materialized past high school because he had this knee condition, ended up being a degenerative knee condition that kept him from reaching full potential. It kind of, you know, it was always going to be downhill because that knee was never healed. In the same sense, it just felt like Malco, with the injuries, never could get the body right, so he never could take off as a dominant college big. You'd see spurts of it. You'd see flashes of it. And that's why I'm talking about it. It just feels like a lot of it's going to be unrealized potential when you think about his career. But then a lot of it, dude, self-inflicted foolishness.
Yes, yes. It's also my rule on bigs, as I told you the other day. All bigs get hurt. It's just a fact. Like, I don't care how talented you are at some place, they're just going to have injury issues. But I do wish Malco the best. Again, I guess you do get...
Well, it's hard. It's hard being a Memphian playing for Memphis, too, because you get criticized every move you make if you don't...
And he was with Penny the whole time.
After nearly leaving. Again, and to your point, maybe he should have left. Maybe he should have spent that year elsewhere.
Off.
Again, I would tell you, you're still going to have some of the same injury issues and health concerns, because that never seemed to go away.
Right.
At some point, the health, the knees, everything, it always seemed to pop up at some point and shorten what should have been, long... good, impactful seasons for him. But I wish the best for Malcolm Dandridge. And it was weird yesterday hearing that he's not coming back to Memphis. Like
any eligibility.
Well, we knew
that. There's none left.
We wish you the best on your pro.
I don't know if that's necessary.
Too, he said he's preparing for the NBA. He didn't just say pro.
Did he say? Oh, did he? Okay, let me pull up the statement.
I think that was one of the reasons why we looked at it. Was like, is that what is that? Does that say it really doesn't even matter?
It doesn't.
He got about the same chance of getting drafted as David Jones.
Big dog is gone. As we knew, it says I declare for the 2024 draft.
That's what I'm saying,
just
bro.
Draft.
He declared for the draft yesterday. That's why we were so confused. Like, bro,
you're not getting drafted.
We're looking for David Jones's announcement of whether he's going. Like, but bro,
this on the same day as David Jones
again,
too.
This is not to dismiss a Memphis player who contributed to Memphis and anything else, but it's like, why are you making this announcement? We're not checking for you today.
Right.
In fact, no one is checking.
And he did it on the wire day.
Yes, man. That's what I'm saying. Maybe he was out to confuse some people.
Malco, you don't have any more. You cannot return.
It's done.
You're not David Jones.
And we still don't know what happened with you academically, whether you'd even,
if you were qualified.
Even if you were trying to go for that DeAndre Williams waiver.
The extra waiver.
Yeah.
Fifth year.
We don't even know if you could play.
All right. And so, I don't want to pile on here. I wish him the best. And the other thing is, a lot of these kids.
Deep thinker.
They just want to put that graphic out because it's like, it's not closure unless you get the infograph out. And it's like, okay, thank you.
You're right about that.
Like, do we need the infograph? And it's a really well done. It's just him. He's big because, of course, he's big. And so, well wishes to Malcolm Dandridge. Officially now, Jason. Officially.
My brother gone. Next story.
Yeah, we Ben had him out the car.
Yeah.
But we wish you the best.
I wish him the best.
We talked about it with Drew Hill. Alabama got a big bump yesterday. And while we were waiting on the David Jones announcement, Alabama was finding out that Mark Sears and Jaren Stevenson, Jaren Stevenson really impressed with some of his measurements up at the combine.
Yeah.
They are both back. Mark Sears, a second team All-American last year for Alabama. And as I've said, it moved them up from number 6 in the Athletic's previous preseason college basketball rankings to number 1 in the country.
Number 1.
Yeah. So, again, while they were, while Memphis was, as Brad put it, subtraction. You're losing a guy in David Jones. Mm-hmm. They got everything back, and the Athletics got them number 1. I assume some others might have them a little lower, but they are easily a top 5
team. Kind of dough do you think Alabama dropped on them to get that done?
I mean, I'm imagining if, it's hundreds
interject,
of thousands.
It's
no, if not, maybe close to a mil for Mark Sears because you're coming back off an All-American season. Again, you had Mark Sears, to take it back to David Jones a little bit, a second team All-American last year. Caleb Love, who we have not mentioned, third team All-American last year at Arizona. They're both going back to college. David Jones, honorable mention All-America. He's staying in. They're going back because they knew the NBA wasn't checking for them. They had better college years last year. Certainly more praise, but higher on the prospect list than you were. And David Jones is going back. Those guys, for Arizona, for Alabama, yesterday obviously were great days for those teams. And as Borzello wrote, they were the big winner. Yesterday we mentioned Caleb Love going back. UConn has got Alex Caravan going back, 6'9" forward, who's returning. And so that was all good news for those teams while Memphis was losing a guy. We mentioned what Borzello said about Memphis. With Jones in the fold, the Tigers could have made an argument to be ranked in the preseason top 25. But without him, Hardaway's going to have to rely almost entirely on transfers and has no focal point on the offensive end. While I agree, no focal point right now, you have to there is enough talent here. This transfer portal class ranked
find
number 11
one.
In the country, 247, to find one.
Yeah.
But that's not ideal.
No.
That's not ideal. You know how we say the Grizzlies have to bounce back to contender status?
Yeah.
But the Tigers have to bounce back this year after missing the tournament. And so it is not ideal that you were going into the season without knowing who number one in the pecking order
is. I agree
with
you.
And that's why yesterday mattered so much, because having David Jones back, even with all the new faces, meant at least you knew who number one in the pecking order was. Now that's got to be figured out on the fly.
Probably P.J. Haggerty, maybe.
You know, him, Tyrese Hunter's going to have the ball in his hands a lot, the point guard coming over from Texas. I imagine that is your starting backcourt right there.
Yeah.
Those two guys. But you're going to have to figure out,
you're
Brad.
You're probably going to be a bigs-oriented team.
You're going to have to figure out, again, against a pretty tough non-conference schedule, who's taking the last shot. You know, everything that you, even with David Jones in the fold, Memphis was still struggling with that. Is it Javon Quinterly taking the turn right now? Where does Jaquan Walton fall into this? When you've got to do it on the fly, particularly in a bounce-back season, that's not easy to do.
Yeah.
You would rather have more figured out going into the year with so many new faces, and you have less figured out when you don't have David Jones back. And that's what makes this, again, so unfortunate. Not that Memphis can't get it worked out. Frankly, it's Penny's charge this year. Get the pecking order going. You got him here by June. Like, get this worked out as
find
much
the
as
rotation
you can.
Out.
Because Penny has always, and Mark talked about this in this column that you mentioned, Penny has always gone after top talent.
Mm-hmm.
Going back to the East days, the team Penny, grassroots levels, everything. He's always gone after, give me the most talent possible.
And then figure it out.
Where he has been challenged is then taking that talent and fitting it into roles, making it work, getting the pecking order. 2 years ago, it worked beautifully because you had Kendrick and DeAndre right at the top. 1-2 was done. Everybody else could fall in line. Last year, particularly after Caleb Mills goes down, one of your sacrifice guys, it all fell apart after a great year. And again, you are set up for that right now. And I'm not throwing out that you would have been set up for having to figure some things out even if you had David Jones back, because that's a lot of, you know, that's a lot of players on the perimeter expecting to have the ball in their hand, right? But what we can agree on is that now you're at ground zero. You're starting over in terms of figuring out that pecking order. That is not ideal, Brad, in a season where, frankly, you need to have a great non-conference season and then go run the AAC this year. And so, yes, hopefully, again, you could do it on the fly, but this was, yes, getting them back in June, getting them all here for this weekend when the summer session starts, that's something that couldn't happen, didn't happen for you last season. But that ain't going to be the ultimate fix. Penny's going to have to go back to Mark's point, it's true. He's going to have to, this challenge that has faced him when he has this much talent that he hadn't been able to lick yet, how do I get them into defined roles so that, again, when things go bad during the season, our chemistry don't go to hell. You know, the bottom right. doesn't fall out. Clearly, he's going after more of a defense, trying to get back to a defensive identity with these additions that you've made. And you could argue David Jones wasn't going to help with that much, right? Because we saw him last.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Year defensively. My gosh, from a rebounding standpoint, from a 1A standpoint in terms of ball in his hands at the end of games, you knew what you had in him, and so taking it out of the equation this year is a void.
Okay, so
is a major void.
Now that we're here, let's ask, because we haven't talked about David Jones's career as a pro. My prediction is that David won't be a productive rotation level player or even a bench player on an NBA team because he's too small. That he'll be a pro and he'll end up making a lot of money overseas. That's what I predict. What do you think?
I do too. You know, it's funny. Adonis Thomas, who I covered here, and at one point when he was in high school, you would have said surefire NBA player. That's in terms of where he was ranked as a prospect coming out of Melrose. Before they changed the draft rules again, based on his body, he may have could have made the jump. Just right. In terms of what people were saying, what he brought physically to the table.
Yep. Plays two seasons. By the way, I hope that he makes the NBA. This is not me trying to project.
But when you brought that up, it made me think about this.
You thought of Adonis.
2 years. He spent 2 years at Memphis, and I thought he left too soon.
Yeah.
And so he ends up not getting drafted. And he ends up going overseas as really a big shooting guard. I mean, Adonis, you know, was listed, I think, 6'5", 6'7", six, somewhere in there.
Undersized
big. But he was really, and again, because of his size, you would want to put him at small forward on the wing, and you would say, go get me points, but also go get me rebounds.
Yeah.
Well, Adonis was never that. He was more of just a shooting guard with this big body.
Yeah.
But the point was that wasn't going to work in the NBA. He did not get drafted. He's had a few 10 days or whatever else.
Mm-hmm.
He's gone overseas and had a fantastic career and has made a lot of money. Back to David Jones, that's what I see. Because at 6'3 and a half, right, 6'4, shoes on, whatever, at that size, they're going to be able to, the NBA needs you to play on the ball. You have to play some point.
Reminds me of Lester Hudson a little bit.
You know, David Jones is quick, can get off his own shot, but he's not cat quick. He doesn't have, you know, we're not talking about the quick twitch, NBA athleticism that's at the elite end. I'm not saying he's not athletic,
but he's not great.
At the elite end.
Yes.
He's shorter than we thought.
Yep.
To his credit, rebounds like freaking Charles Barkley
gets after
at that size.
Absolutely.
But the NBA is not checking for that guy if you can't put him at point guard.
Yes.
And particularly, Brad, if he can't defend his position on the other end.
Mm-hmm.
And so, much like you're saying, I agree. There's a place for David Jones as a scorer overseas at 6'3 and a half, 6'4.
Absolutely.
He can go make some money.
A lot of money.
I just don't think with his skill set, with the flaws in his game, and let's be real, he's a turnover machine.
Yes.
And so you haven't been able to put him on the ball and let him show off point guard skills. I just don't think there's a real spot. It's going to be hard for him to carve out a niche. You know, with Lester, you could see 3-and-D guy.
Right.
You know, that's a role in the NBA. With the way he's able to knock down the three, with the way he could guard.
Oh, yeah.
David Jones doesn't have that ability on the defensive end. And so we could always see a role for Lester. I don't know what the role is for David Jones, because there aren't many NBA teams that are using one of those 15 roster spots on shorter shooting
guards.
Unless
you're 6'8", like Derrick Jones.
Who can't play point.
Yeah.
Who can't play point.
If a wing with who can't, he's not big enough.
Dude, Derrick Jones is flying through the air. That's the extreme
killing
athleticism, Mr. Helicopter, whatever the hell they call him. And he's a wing, and he can knock down corner threes.
Yeah.
But David Jones is the size. Could be smaller than Vieira Tuck.
That's
who's
crazy.
Listed at 6'4". Who knows what Vieira Tuck is?
I hope he's probably
6'1". But he's listed at 6'4".
Man, I hope he's 6'4".
Taller than David Jones.
Y'all get your measures right over there at Memphis.
So anyway, as far as David Jones' pro career, I think David Jones can thrive overseas. And again, that's just part of the reason why I feel like this is a pool of money that you could have had if you came back to Memphis. Set aside the it's a pool of money that you won't be able to recoup.
Right.
Because the likelihood is you'll toil around NBA, two-way, whatever else. Lester had his two-way taken away before he got it back. The likelihood is you'll do that, then have to go overseas before. It's going to be tough to make up this money. But anyway, as far as that's concerned, we also wish David Jones the best. Kind of got us pulled off topic.
I pulled you off topic.
The point was that Memphis is 30. You know, without David Jones, in these new rankings, Memphis is 30th, a big winner last night. Certainly was Alabama who gets back Sears and Stevenson in last night's withdrawal, before last night's withdrawal date.
Next story.
Clearly, I'm not over the David Jones news. It's just
I'm not either. I just think it's a bad decision.
Everybody I've talked to this morning, this is all they're talking about is this David Jones news because it's.
And I don't blame Penny for saying 70-30. I think David Jones took bad advice.
Penny Hardaway.
We should fade him.
Don't do that.
Like Penny.
Stop asking me stupid fucking questions.
Global warming's killing the world. Can we get in? Can we turn it around? Penny gonna say 70-30.
We'll get it turned around. Yeah. We're gonna have your story about Mike Norvell, but first, I know we don't talk a lot about baseball. However, I'll do a quick report here, and we'll start with the headline from last night, which is, and this is good for both of us, the Mets suck in the National League. Last night, this is wild. So Mets reliever Jorge Lopez.
I heard about this.
He was tossed from the game, but that's not really the story. So he was arguing. They're in the lead, by the way, mind you. So Mets are winning. They've got the closer, Lopez, in. He starts arguing with the third base umpire. And then, so they throw him out of the game. Umpire says, you're gone. You ain't going to, you know, you guys are up. What are you doing? So then he proceeds to go to the dugout. Before he goes to the dugout, though, and walks off the field, he takes his glove. He doesn't just throw it into the stands or at anybody or in the field of play. He throws it over the net into the stands with the fans before going to the dugout. And then it gets better, Jason, because after the game, he's asked about this and about how bad they've been. And here's what Lopez said. He said, I think I've been like on the worst team in the MLB. And then the Mets cut him after the game. So Lopez, that brother is gone. And I know you're a Cubs fan. I'm a Cardinals fan. The good news is the Mets suck despite a $326 million payroll. They are really bad. They are in fourth place in the National League East. They're 22-33.
Are they second in payroll? Is it Dodgers and them? Are they higher than
that? Well, you got that deferred money from the Dodgers, so I believe.
Oh, that's right. Ohtani's is deferred.
Are
the Mets the highest payroll?
I think they're right there.
They're top five.
They're easily one of the highest paid because for years, you know, we pointed out that the Yankees were supposedly buying all these rosters. Now the Mets are doing it, have one of the richest donors. They're either first or second. Their bullpen is a mess with Edwin Diaz struggling, now on the injured list. They are the bottom third team in the three major offensive categories. And then last night, their closer yells, gets thrown out of the game, tosses his glove into the stands, and then they just cut him.
They just cut that fool.
And that brother gone.
On a consistent basis, just dysfunctional.
Year to year basis,
they find a way to be dysfunctional.
Now, we don't talk about baseball often on this show, but since we're here, let's just go ahead and go to the NL Central.
You be careful. Don't jinx yourself.
I also subscribe to the lesson that Jason taught me in this month. We've been solo dolo without our partner, John Martin, and we'll get him back on Monday.
Looking forward to it. We will talk
about his gambling on baseball. Maybe we'll talk about some baseball. We'll have a whole summer to fill time. John will be filling all of it because he's been gone for 6 months.
That's right.
Six weeks.
We'll get our money's worth from him in June.
However, since we're here and it is summerish, the Cardinals, after you gave me a lesson about sports, what we call it, karma.
How you don't troll other fan bases or teams, because that energy will come back to your team.
What you put out into the earth comes back to you.
Happens
sometimes
with John
twofold.
And his Raiders, when he trolls the Titans, it happens with Stephen A. Smith. When he trolls the Cowboys, and it happens
to his Knicks. Yeah, so you don't. That's the story.
We've used hard, concrete examples.
And you're the one who gave us those examples.
Mm-hmm. This is my rule.
It was your rule, and you broke this rule about a couple of weeks ago when you pointed out, really it was the end of April, this is when the Cardinals were, I think, about 15 games under 500.
Contreras had just gone down.
And that was looking bad.
Yeah, even you were down.
I'm still Cardinal fans. I still don't believe. And this is, I'm sort of like a dog that keeps getting whooped. You know, you keep getting whooped.
Well, and you can't even see it.
And you shouldn't whoop dogs.
Because you can't see it on Bally's right now.
I can't even see the damn games. I'm about to cord cut because of this issue. But my Cardinals, I've been listening on 790 AM here in Memphis, our sister station who carries the games. It looks like their ratings are up to about a 0.2 because of the Cardinals game. So they're making moves over there at 790. Cardinals are now tied for second with your Chicago Cubs and their overpaid manager, Craig Counsell. What do you have to say for yourself?
I have to be honest and say that I was trolling you guys, even though I was doing it sarcastically once Contreras went down, just pointing out where you were in the standings. Again, I didn't really go to the lengths that John does, call you names and everything else.
No, you didn't stoop that low.
I didn't stoop that low, but I, in pointing it out, yes, in my heart of hearts, in the back of my mind, was I doing that on purpose to troll you guys a little bit? Absolutely. And Les Kruger picked up on it.
Yeah.
Cursed my Bears, and you picked up on it because you could tell the way I had the little smirk as we were talking about Contreras, how sad we were for you Cardinals. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I broke my own rule. It's come back around, and yes, for now, you Cardinals are back in it.
Yes.
What are you, 27-27?
27-27 tied with the Cubs for second place because they're like, no, we're 26-26. I think y'all are 27-27.
Okay, it's like
we've had a lot of rain games.
Uh-huh.
So,
I've had to come around that I broke my own rule, and how silly is that? You tell other people don't do this, and then you do it. But I was shocked you broke your own rule,
and it's really uncharacteristic. You are a man of integrity. It's one of the things I enjoy working about you. You're a man of faith, which, you know, we don't have to talk about that on the show, but you are,
Cardinals, let me tell you something. They're like cockroaches. They can't kill them. They keep coming back.
They come under the board.
Every time I want to count them out and say, here's a season when you guys aren't going to compete in the NL, so you guys come back. You're like the Undertaker. You're never dead.
What was the listener? Who's the listener who pointed out the Bears thing?
Les Kruger.
So Les Kruger,
fan Les, who doesn't like me trolling his team.
So Les may be onto something, because this also looks like your football team. Like Caleb Williams, it looks like he's throwing ducks out there.
He had one bad day in off-season workouts.
Okay. Can he throw a football without throwing off the back foot?
Did you see him win the Heisman 2 years ago?
I saw it. I also saw some reels on him that didn't look good with them painted fingernails that they're selling at Soldier Field.
I can't even believe you're doing this. You're stooping to John's level talking about Caleb Williams.
To play a role. John's
talking
not here.
Caleb Williams' fingernails.
John's not here to do it, so I figured I'd take his spot for a little bit here. I mean, we're talking about sports karma. I just thought I'd bring up Caleb. You think he's going to be fine?
Again, it was one bad day.
I haven't seen any footage lately, so maybe it's getting better for him.
Yeah,
he's turned
keep
it around.
In mind, he's going against a defense could be top five in the NFL.
About the tough defense.
So do you understand? It's a veteran union on the other side.
Yeah, I forgot about who he's playing against over there.
Boy.
Thank you. Yeah,
he's trying to show this
Jalen
boy.
Johnson and the great, is it?
Montez Sweat.
Thank you.
We have several guys that'll be probably all pro this year.
I figured
mind, he is going up against one of the upper echelon defenses every day. And how much better that's going to make him.
Wrapping a bow on this, the thing we can both agree on is the Mets are in a bad place. And they're actually worse than both
us.
Of our teams. So that's good news.
Next story.
All right, real quick, and I'm going to put you on the spot as I'm talking about this. Maybe you can search it real fast for me.
Look at it. I'm quick fingers.
If you look up Michigan Corey Harris court, you will probably see the video. I saw about a 2-minute video of it.
Judge stunned when man gets suspended license.
Okay. This is it. I was telling you about it.
Is this video playable?
To start the show, I believe it is. Let me get through the nuts
Please
and bolts
do.
Real
Thank
fast.
You.
We'll give it a chance. But a Michigan man, I told you, did the dumbest thing I've probably ever seen in terms of getting yourself sent to jail, was doing a Zoom court hearing. Okay, attending a hearing May 15th for charges related to an early arrest in Pittsfield Township, Michigan. It's about 5 miles south of Ann Arbor. Brad figured this was a Florida man because there are a lot of dumb people in Florida as well. It's not.
This is
in Michigan. In a video that has since gone viral, a recording of the call shows Harris joining while sitting in a moving car. This man had a suspended license.
Oh, my God.
And he's doing his Zoom
From
court
the
hearing.
And the kidding me?
And the judge sees that the car is moving.
Oh, no.
Can you play? Do you have it?
So here's what I have. I have the news story out of Michigan.
Okay,
can I just play this here? I think this is it.
Now to a story out of Ann Arbor going viral, a man showing what not to do during your court hearing.
That virtual hearing was for a man with a suspended driver's license, and this is how he joined the call.
So just give me 1 second. I'm parking right now.
Yep, this happened May 15th during Washtenaw County Judge Cedric Simpson.
He is in a damn car?
So he's in the car and he's telling the judge
that
he's parking.
Court calls case, People versus Corey Harris.
This is better.
I'm Ed Silver on behalf of Pittsfield Township.
Assistant Public Defender Natalie Tate for Mr. Harris, who should be present via Zoom.
Here he is.
Mr. Harris, are you driving?
Actually, I'm pulling into my doctor's office, actually. So just give me 1 second. I'm parking right now.
Hold on, Judge.
Hey.
The judge is making
this
faces.
Is great.
As
he can't
he
even believe it. The Honorable Cedric Simpson.
The judge can't believe it.
Simpson is going
bananas. Stationary?
I'm pulling in right now at this second. Yes, I am.
Yes.
What?
All right. So what are we doing?
Your Honor, we are respectfully requesting an adjournment in this matter up possibly 2 to 4 weeks if the court would allow.
Oh, my God. He is in a car.
Okay. So maybe I don't understand something. This is a driving with a license suspended?
That is correct, Your Honor.
And he was just driving. And he didn't have a license.
Cedric has or Corey.
Is with the charges, Your Honor, yes.
No, I'm looking at his record. He doesn't have a license. He's suspended and he's just driving.
That is correct, Your Honor.
He is in a car zooming right now. Corey's speechless.
Yeah, Corey has nothing to say.
Come on, Corey. What do you got? Well, you're on about, Zoom. You're in a car.
Judge about to tell him.
Okay. It's playing.
Hello?
1 minute, Mr. Harris.
Oh, this judge is going to light him up.
I thought we were close to it there.
It's getting close. Okay. Corey is speechless. Yeah, judge is looking in the camera.
Was this long.
I don't even know why he would do that. So defendant's bond is revoked in this matter. Defendant is turning himself into the Washtenaw County Jail by 6 p.m. today. Failure to turn himself in will result in a bench warrant with no bond.
And Brad is making the same face that that old Corey made when he heard that.
Thank you.
When you're going to jail.
I'm giving you a call.
When the judge said, get here by 6
p.m. Get your ass in jail, bro.
And Corey had nothing. It was almost like it had just dawned on Corey that he's in the car moving himself, as it did the judge. Like, what do you mean you're on the Zoom court hearing and you're on suspended license and you don't realize that you're driving? It was almost like, as the judge said it, he was just realizing, man, I have done messed up, as opposed to you just don't care when you made this decision. Like, he couldn't believe. And so he's dumbfounded and gets even more dumbfounded as the judge says, man, just report your ass to jail at 6 o'clock because you are a fool. Like, that is as dumb as I've ever seen.
It might be the dumbest. That might top the list.
He couldn't even say anything in defense of himself.
The most awkward usage of Zoom into a court. And I didn't realize you could do a lot of Zooms in courtrooms. I guess they do this a lot, right, for a suspended license.
I imagine now, yes, probably. Because
he's on a Zoom from a car with a suspended license driving, and he throws his ass in jail.
And now you got to report by 6 o'clock and get his tail in jail.
And gives him a deadline.
Dumbest thing you've ever seen. You see how happy he was to tell the judge, yes, I'm here. I've got my car parked now. I'm here.
And he even told on himself
He wasn't even thinking about it. Like, you can tell the guy, it hadn't even occurred to him that, you know what, I'm on suspended license, so I better not be in a moving vehicle, or he could get me send me to jail.
Is this how we've arrived? Not that we're a totally lawless society, but sometimes disrespectful of the law when you don't even think about something like that. That is outrageous.
I mean, it's almost like, you know, you and I forget our keys. We don't know where we
did
with them, or where the remote is, or that your glasses are on your head and not on your eyes. That seemed to be what that was for him.
His equivalent.
But it shouldn't be, because this is a court hearing. You're in trouble with the law, and that's where we sort of get our minds together before we go into those experiences, right? So we won't be just lost and everything else. This fool had one of those moments while in court. Man, got to go to jail. Dumbest thing you've ever seen.
Outrageous.
Dumbest thing you've
outrageous.
Ever seen.
Outrageous. I do have breaking news, and I don't know if you saw this news. I'm sorry. Final story here. Mr. Lincoln's costume shop is closing. Did you see that?
No, I did not.
Have you ever used Mr. Lincoln's?
No, I haven't.
I used to use it all the time. It's closing. Daily Memphian just broke that news.
Where is that at? Is that in Mid?
It's over in Overton Square area, right across from the parking garage. It's an institution.
It's been there for a long time.
It's an institution. That's actually big news. This just broke during the show here. I used to go there every year. Like, we do bits for the radio and we get costumes. That's a sad thing for Midtown, losing Mr. Lincoln's. So I didn't mean to take away from Corey our criminal who is zooming from the courtroom.
Corey's not worried about us right now. He's in the poker. He's in the.
This
joint.
Is where we're at.
He's
so
gotta figure out how
that
to...
you might have took the biggest story I've seen of dum-dums in the news in the history of this radio show. That is incredible.
He gets a disrespect dog certainly for that one. We're in the thick of it in the NBA playoffs, but it's not too late to get on the action with FanDuel, because right now new customers get $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5 bet. That's $150 you can use on same game parlays, live bets, championship futures. Got the finals coming up. We've got Fade Brad coming up. Maybe you want to do that as a way to win that first $5 bet. Unlock that $150. Again, there's no better place to do it all than on FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Just go to FanDuel.com. Use the promo code JSmith, JSMITH, and new customers will get $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5 bet. Again, it's only on FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA and of 929 FM ESPN. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.